Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision podcast. I'm so glad you've pressed play because today we are diving into one of the most visually spectacular topics on the entire specification, distinctive coastal landscapes. Whether you're studying for AQA, ADEXL or OCR, this topic is a guaranteed part of your physical geography paper. And the good news is, once you understand the processes, you can answer almost any question the examiners throw at you. So grab a pen, find somewhere comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. The coastline of the United Kingdom stretches for over 17,000 kilometres. That's an enormous variety of landscapes, from the towering white chalk cliffs of Flamborough Head in East Yorkshire, to the dramatic granite headlands of Cornwall, to the sweeping sandy beaches of Northumberland. Each of these is distinctive, and that word is really important. Examiners want you to explain what makes your chosen coastal landscape unique, not just describe what a coastline looks like in general. Now, the key idea running through this entire topic is interaction. Coastal landscapes are not formed by physical processes alone, and they are not shaped by humans alone. They are the result of physical and human processes working together, sometimes in harmony, sometimes in conflict. When you write about your case study in the exam, you must always link these two sides together. Candidates who only describe the physical processes without mentioning human influence are limiting themselves to the lower mark levels. So let's talk about the physical processes first. There are four main types of coastal erosion you absolutely must know. The first is hydraulic action. This is where the sheer force of waves crashes into a cliff face, compressing air into cracks in the rock. The pressure builds up and literally blasts the rock apart. Think of it like a natural jackhammer. The second process is abrasion, sometimes called corrasion. This is where waves pick up sand, pebbles, and boulders and hurl them against the cliff face. The rock is essentially sandpapered away. This is the most powerful form of erosion at most coastlines. Third is attrition. This is where the rocks and pebbles being carried by the sea collide with each other, breaking down into smaller and smoother pieces over time. This is why beach pebbles are rounded rather than jagged. And fourth is solution, also called corrosion. This is a chemical process where slightly acidic seawater dissolves soluble minerals in rocks like limestone and chalk. It's a slower process, but over thousands of years it has a significant effect. Now, here's a memory hook for those four processes. Use the acronym HAAS. Hydraulic action, abrasion, attrition, solution. HAAS. Say it a few times. HAAS. Got it? Good. Now, erosion doesn't just wear cliffs away randomly. It creates a sequence of distinctive landforms. It all starts with a headland, a promontory of harder rock jutting out into the sea. Waves attack the base of the headland, and hydraulic action and abrasion carve out a wave-cut notch at the base of the cliff. As the notch deepens, the rock above becomes unsupported and collapses. This process repeats, and the cliff retreats landward, leaving behind a flat, rocky surface called a wave-cut platform. But the really dramatic landforms come when erosion exploits weaknesses right through the headland. First, a cave forms. Then, if there's a weakness running right through the headland, the cave erodes all the way through to form an arch, a spectacular natural bridge of rock with the sea flowing underneath. Over time, the roof of the arch weakens and collapses, leaving an isolated pillar of rock standing in the sea, called a stack. And eventually, even the stack is eroded down to a low, flat remnant at sea level, called a stump. Cave, arch, stack, stump. That's your sequence. A brilliant example is Old Harry Rocks on the Jurassic coast in Dorset, chalk stacks that are eroding even as we speak.
Now let's talk about deposition, because not all coastal processes involve erosion. When waves lose energy, they drop the sediment they've been carrying. This creates depositional landforms like beaches, spits and bars. Longshore drift is the process that moves sediment along the coast. Waves approach the shore at an angle, driven by the prevailing wind, and the swash pushes sediment diagonally up the beach. but gravity pulls the backwash straight back down the beach at a right angle to the shoreline. The net result is that sediment is transported along the coast in a zigzag pattern. This is longshore drift, and it's fundamental to understanding why spits and bars form where they do. A spit forms where the coastline changes direction, for example, at a river mouth. Longshore drift continues to carry sediment in the same direction, but the land is no longer there to support it, so the sediment is deposited in open water, building up a long, narrow ridge of sand or shingle. The end of the spit often curves due to secondary wave action. This is called a recurved end. Now let's bring in our named case study, the Holderness Coast in East Yorkshire. This is the fastest eroding coastline in Europe, and it's an absolutely perfect example for this topic because it shows both physical and human processes at work. The Holderness Coast stretches for about 60 kilometres, from Flamborough Head in the north to Spurn Head in the south. The cliffs are made of soft boulder clay, glacial sediment deposited during the last ice age. Boulder clay is extremely vulnerable to erosion. The average erosion rate is around 2 metres per year, but during severe storms it can be much more dramatic. Since Roman times, over 30 villages have been completely lost to the sea. The most famous is the medieval town of Ravenser Odd, which was a significant port in the 13th century and is now entirely underwater. Why is the erosion so rapid? Several physical factors combine. First, the boulder clay is soft and unconsolidated. It simply cannot resist the power of the waves. Second, the North Sea generates powerful destructive waves with a long fetch, the distance over which wind blows across water to generate waves. Waves arriving from the northeast have a fetch stretching all the way to Scandinavia, giving them enormous energy. Third, there is very little beach material to absorb wave energy. The beaches at Holderness are narrow and thin, offering minimal protection to the cliffs. But here's where the human dimension becomes crucial. Coastal management decisions made at one location directly affect erosion rates further along the coast. At Mapleton, a small village on the Holderness coast, the local council spent approximately £2 million in 1991 constructing rock armour and two rock groins to protect the village. The groins interrupt longshore drift, trapping sediment to the north and building up the beach at Mapleton. This was successful. Mapleton is still there today. However, and this is the key point for your exam, by trapping sediment at Mapleton, the groins starved the beaches to the south of sediment. Without beach material to absorb wave energy, the cliffs to the south of Mapleton began eroding even faster. Farmers and landowners further south lost land at an accelerated rate as a direct consequence of the management decision at Mapleton. This is a perfect example of how human intervention in one location can have unintended consequences elsewhere along the coast. This conflict between different stakeholders is central to the topic. At Holderness, you have local residents wanting protection, farmers losing agricultural land, the local council balancing costs against benefits, and environmentalists arguing that natural processes should be allowed to continue. The sediment eroded from the Holderness cliffs is actually what builds and maintains Spurn Head, the narrow sand spit at the southern end of the coast. If erosion were stopped entirely, Spurn Head would eventually disappear, destroying a nationally important nature reserve.
Right, let's move on to exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. You also need to know how to write it up to get maximum marks. The most important command word in this topic is explain. When an exam question says, explain how the named coastal landscape has been formed, examiners are looking for a chain of reasoning. Don't just say, hydraulic action erodes the cliff. Say, hydraulic action compresses air into joints and cracks in the boulder clay cliff face. The pressure builds up and shatters the rock, weakening the cliff base. This allows the cliff to become undercut, forming a wave-cut notch. As the notch deepens, the unsupported rock above collapses, causing the cliff to retreat landward. That's a developed explanation, and that's what earns marks in Level 3 and Level 4 responses. Now, the three most common mistakes I see candidates make on this topic. Number one, describing the landscape without explaining the processes. If a question asks you to explain how the Holderness coast has been formed, don't just say, there are soft boulder clay cliffs. explain why they are eroding. The soft rock, the destructive waves, the long fetch from the northeast. Number two, forgetting the human dimension. This topic is specifically about the interaction between physical and human processes. If you write a beautiful explanation of erosion, but never mention coastal management, groins, seawalls, or human decisions, you are missing a fundamental part of what the specification requires. Number three, using vague language. Examiners want specific details. Don't say, the coast erodes quickly. Say, the Holderness Coast erodes at an average rate of 2 metres per year, the fastest in Europe. Don't say, a village was lost. Say, the medieval port of Ravensar-Odd was lost to the sea in the 14th century. Specific facts earn marks. Vague generalisations do not. And here's a tip for 6-mark and 9-mark questions. Always use the PEEL structure. Point, state your point clearly. Evidence, back it up with a specific named example or statistic. Explanation, explain the geographical process or relationship. Link, connect back to the question. If you do this consistently, you will hit the higher levels of the mark scheme every time. Right, time for your quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions, and you should pause the podcast and try to answer before I give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the name of the process where waves compress air into cracks in a cliff face? The answer is hydraulic action. Question 2. Name the sequence of landforms created when a headland is eroded. Cave, arch, stack, stump. Question 3. What is the average erosion rate of the Holderness Coast? Approximately 2 metres per year. Question 4. What is longshore drift? The movement of sediment along the coast in a zigzag pattern, driven by waves approaching the shore at an angle. Question 5. What human management strategy was used at Mapleton in 1991, and what was the unintended consequence? Rock armour and groins were built, costing around £2 million. The groins trapped sediment at Mapleton, but starved beaches to the south of sediment, accelerating erosion further along the coast. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. You're in great shape. If you struggled with any of them, go back and review that section of your notes. Let's finish with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Distinctive coastal landscapes are formed through the interaction between physical and human processes. The 4 processes of erosion are hydraulic action, abrasion, attrition, and solution. Remember HAAS. Erosion creates a sequence of landforms. Cave, arch, stack, stump. Deposition creates beaches, spits, and bars through longshore drift. The Holderness Coast is the fastest eroding coastline in Europe, losing around 2 metres per year due to soft boulder clay cliff face and powerful North Sea waves. Human management at Mapleton shows how coastal decisions in one place affect erosion rates elsewhere, a brilliant example of the interaction between physical and human processes. In your exam, always explain processes in chains of reasoning. Always include specific named examples and statistics, and always address both the physical and human dimensions of your chosen landscape. You've got this. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.